verses 1 through 15. I encourage you to turn there with me so you can read for yourself what God has to say to you this morning. It is the first Sunday of the month, the Sunday we've reserved for a prayer emphasis. That's why Jerry came and spoke. We have decided not to do the prayer gathering here at 2 o'clock, moving forward for a while. But that doesn't mean that we don't need you to pray at home and where you are. So you've got that prayer guide that's in your bulletin with you. Take that home sometime today. Spend time praying for our revitalization. Pray for that prompt, those prompts that Jackie has put together for us this morning. The prayer team will look for other ways in which we can emphasize prayer, whether it be special events or publications that can help us as we go to the Lord in prayer together, asking Him to guide us and direct us in our revitalization. So please continue to do that. We need God's power. We need His direction for us as a church. And we need your prayers to help us connect to that. We have been talking about expecting opposition. How as Jesus is sending out the 12, He prepares them. And He says, you're going to get opposition. And Matthew chapter 10 is an interesting chapter because He's about to send them out two by two, and He gives them this list of instructions, what they need to do. And I believe that those instructions are just as important to us today as they were for the early disciples. So we're going to take a look at that this morning. Someone put together a list called Kids Instructions for Life. And one of those instructions was by Rocky. And this is what he wrote when he was asked, what instructions should we have for life? He wrote, when feeding seagulls, always wear a hat. It's good instructions. But my favorite out of all of them was from 12-year-old Joel, who said, don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. Very wise as well. Did you know that the Bible is full of instructions for us? Some have said Bible stands for, the letters of Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. There was a great song in the early 90s proclaiming that. But Jesus is giving very specific instructions, as I said, to His disciples before He sends them out two by two to be about proclaiming the kingdom of God. And I believe with all my heart that He desires for us to follow those same instructions for us today, for we are to be His messengers. We are to be about proclaiming the kingdom of God. So let's read what these instructions are. Matthew chapter 10, we're going to start with verses 1 through 4. And He called to Him His 12 disciples, and He gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Him. I believe the first instructions that He gives the disciples is to go in power. Go in power. Now, they were disciples. They were learners starting out, but they were now to be apostles. Verse 2 is the first time that the 12 disciples are called apostles. Apostle means sent out ones or missionaries. Now, as the New Testament progresses and you read through the book of Acts, you see we kind of give a special label to those who had been with Christ as apostles. You know, the 11 disciples that survived, some of the others who had been with Jesus, Paul is called an apostle because he had a face-to-face conversation with Jesus. And these apostles are given special instructions. They're given special powers to do miracles, special authority. But the actual term apostle means sent one, missionary. They were to start out
as disciples, but the end game was always for them to be apostles. And the same is true for us as well. We might start out as disciples, but the logical and only end game for a disciple is to become an apostle, a sent one, a missionary, one who is sent, one who is a messenger of the gospel. And I believe somebody who's been a Christian a long time and they don't share the gospel, they don't go to share the gospel, they don't view every place they go as a mission opportunity, that they are not fulfilling their call as a disciple of Christ. That they are immature in their faith. God calls us to go and to share the gospel. To go. Whether it be in our workplace, our neighborhood, our family, He also calls us to go across our city, across our state, across our country, and even to the ends of the earth. But when we go in power. Jesus gave the early disciples power to cast out unclean spirits, to heal disease and afflictions. Now, today, we have the same power, and is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus says in the Great Commission. He gives us the Great Commission. He says, I'll be with you always to the ends of the age. How is He with us? Through the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, you've been given the Great Commission to go and to be a messenger and to be the hands and feet of God and to transform the world of those around you as you go. And God has given you power and authority to change the lives of people you encounter through the Holy Spirit. And God can use anybody to do that. Look at this first group of 12 that He sent out. Fishermen, revolutionaries, tax collectors, businessmen, all included in this diverse group of people. And today, He wants to use a diverse group of people to transform the world around us. He wants to use retired teachers. He wants to use teachers. He wants to use repairmen and plumbers. He wants to use bus drivers. He wants to use cafeteria workers. He wants to use accountants. He wants to use as many different type of people as possible. As a matter of fact, He receives more glory the more diverse this group of people is. Whether it be cultural background, skin color, economic background, religious background. The more diverse this group of people is, being about His business, proclaiming His gospel, the more glory He receives. And we should celebrate that diversity. Let's read, keep reading what He says next, verses 5 through 6. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, giving them instructions. Go nowhere amongst the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here we see we need to preach to the right audience. We need to preach to the right audience. Notice at this time they're not sent to any Gentiles or Samaritans. Why is that? We know that Jesus loves Gentiles and He loves Samaritans. Who was the woman at the well? She was a Samaritan. Not only that, but when she became a Jesus follower, she took that message back to her hometown and everybody in the town became Jesus followers. We know that Matthew's gospel starts off by alluding to the coming reality that Jesus will die for Jews and Gentiles. The gospel is for all people. So why this command for them not to go to any Gentiles yet? Well, here's the answer. The kingdom promises were promised first to the Jews. Abraham and Isaac and Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. It was this family, this nation, that the coming kingdom was promised to first. in no uncertain terms. It was through this nation that the whole earth would be blessed. But before it is offered to the nations, it must first be offered to the Jews. They were the ones, after all, that God made the promise to. The Jews were God's chosen people. It was the Jews that God offered the original covenants and the promises and the law. So in the line of God's plan, they are offered the kingdom first. There has always been a Jewish priority in God's plan. Paul talks about this in Romans 1:16 when he says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So he would start by proclaiming the kingdom of God to the Jewish nation. But this is a temporary command. This was not to be binding for a long period of time. In just a few years, Jesus will make it abundantly clear that the gospel is to be offered to all people, Jews and Gentiles. But now, as Jesus is sending out the 12 in Matthew's gospel, the kingdom is to only be offered to the Jews. Now, it would be after the utmost rejection by the Jews in the form of the crucifixion, after the resurrection, that Jesus would then say, "Okay, now this salvation, this new covenant is available to all people, to Jews and Gentiles." Let me tell you, speaking as a Gentile, I appreciate that. It's for all people. It's to be taken to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So we have been given the task to proclaim it to the right audience. And guess what the right audience is? Everybody. Verse 7. "And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We are to proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus told his apostles, "As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Of course, we're not all called to be preachers, but we are all called to be reachers, are we not? All of us are called to do everything we possibly can to reach more people for Jesus Christ. And he is our king. And our king wants people to know that the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. Jesus Christ is the king of the whole universe. He is the righteous and holy judge of all, and we are accountable to him. And there would be no hope whatsoever for us except for the good news that our king is good and gracious and kind and full of mercy for anyone who will trust in him. And as believers, we know that our king, Jesus, loves us. He came into the world for us. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. And when we call him Lord, he forgives us of our sins and gives us eternal life, and he makes us citizens of the kingdom of heaven. He even makes us part of his royal family. And everyone needs to know the truth about the kingdom of heaven. And our task is even more urgent because we live in a world where God's enemies will do everything they can to spread their lies. They even lie about the kingdom of heaven. James Hewitt, who is a Christian author, gave examples of how God's enemies are so determined. This happened while he was serving in Miami, and he worked with refugees and those who came from Cuba, Cuban Americans in Miami. And he frequently heard the following story. He says when they were children in Cuba, the Cuban government would do everything they could to get the children and the people to reject their belief in God and Christianity. And so the teachers would come into the classroom and they would say, "Do you believe there's a God?" And the children, of course, would say, "Yes." And they said, "I want you to pray for the next 4 minutes that God will bring you candy." And they'd have all the children pray for candy. At the end of that 4 minutes,
They tell the kids to lift their heads. I said, did you all get any candy? Kids would frown and say, no, we didn't get any candy. I said, all right, next I want you to ask the Communist Party to give you candy. Say it out loud. Communist Party, give us candy. And they would all say it out loud, and then the teacher systematically would walk desk to desk, giving them a peppermint mint. Who gave you candy? There's no need for God. There's no need for Christianity. All you need is the government. You say, well, that would never happen in today's world, in the United States today. We need to realize that there are those fighting against the kingdom of God today, teaching against the kingdom of God. There are those in our universities and colleges doing everything they can to pull people away from the faith that they have. And unfortunately, it is still making its way down even into our high schools and beyond. We need to proclaim the kingdom of God. Keep reading. Verse 8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Jesus is telling the disciples, display the compassion of the kingdom of God. Display the compassion of the kingdom of God. The disciples were given special authority from Jesus to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. We don't get a lot of accounts of that, but we know that they did that. And some will say today, we have the same authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. These are things given to the apostles, those who had been with Jesus. And these things passed. These powers passed when the apostles passed. Now, we may not be able to heal the sick by laying our hands on somebody or cast out a demon or heal lepers, but our task to show compassion is not lessened. Our call to show compassion is ever present today. The disciples were not given power to do neat tricks. It was a power to show the heart of God and that he cares about the poor and the sick and the desperate. These are what we call apostolic miracles. As I said, we're not living in the apostolic era. We no longer have apostles. This mission that these disciples were showing and the power they were displaying was showing the beginning of a new era. Think about it. In the Bible, every heir is inaugurated by great signs. When Israel was led out of Egypt, there were great signs and wonders. The plagues, the parting of the Red Sea. It was an inauguration of something new. God calling out his people to be his nation. But then there was years of no recorded signs and wonders. But then comes Elijah and Elisha. There's a more consecrated occurrences of supernatural miracles. But then it's an ushering in of a new era. And then we have a long period of time when no miracles seem to take place. But then when Jesus comes on the scene, we see signs and wonders. The main purpose of miracles is not to heal as many people as possible. The major purpose was to to make real this new message of the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to show that the new covenant had come. Compassion goes hand in hand with the gospel. These disciples weren't doing good in the Jesus name. They were doing good in Jesus' name by healing people and reversing the curse. The kingdom had arrived with the person of Jesus.
and their activity lent to the credibility to the gospel. Mercy ministry lends credibility to the gospel message. For us today, that means that short-term missions gives credibility to the gospel. When we do social ministries such as the clothes closet or a food pantry or a soup kitchen, we're giving authenticity to the gospel through our compassion. When we express compassion to the hurting, we're pointing to the authenticity of the gospel. We as gospel bearers should be bearers of compassion. Let's keep reading. Verses 9 through 13. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborers deserve his food. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Jesus is saying, share in faith. Share in faith. They were to rely on the generosity of those that they would minister to meet their needs. This would be an act of faith and trust. They would find housing and food from those they ministered to. Jesus wanted them to know, and he wants us to know, that if we have nothing, we still have everything we need to accomplish his work. We truly have everything we need because we have him. Jesus Christ will supply all our needs. A lot of times we think that God can't use us because we don't have a lot. We think our small acts of faith or obedience is not making a difference. We need to trust that God uses and multiplies our obedience to share the gospel. We're to use what he's given us. What happens is when we use what he's given us, he blesses us, he multiplies our efforts, and does things we could never, ever imagine. But we have to do so in faith. We have to step out in faith. You may not think you can afford to go on a mission trip, but you shouldn't let that keep you from going, because when we step out in faith, he's got a way of providing for us. When we step out to share our faith with a coworker, that takes trust, doesn't it? We're afraid that they'll reject us. We're afraid that they'll make fun of us. They're afraid it'll affect our relationship. But Jesus says, I'm all you need. Step out in faith. Trust that I'm there with you. I'll take care of that situation. If we never step out in faith, we never see God act. We never are able to see him faithful because we're just staying put, not stepping in faith. Isabel Woosley told a story about a modest, self-spoken Christian lady from Oregon. She wasn't the type you'd notice in a crowd. And this woman expressed that she felt worthless, and she told her pastor, everybody else at church seems to have some special talent, but I just don't have any way to minister at all. While she was saying those words about that time, halfway around the world in Papua New Guinea, a young missionary stooped down to go into a grass-thatched hut. Sometimes this missionary hiked with those natives down a jungle trail. Sometimes he flew his helicopter to take them a doctor, bring them supplies. Sometimes he flew over dangerous country to carry Bibles to translators and their workstations. And one day a friend asked him, how did you happen to become a missionary? And he answered, well, my brother and I were going around our neighborhood one Halloween. And we went up to a neighbor's house, and she dropped an invitation to her Sunday school into our bags at trick-or-treat. And we didn't think anything of it. But we took those bags home, and my mom went through the bags, going through our candy, saw the invitation, accepted the invitation, and took us to church. That's when my mom and dad and my little brother began going to a Bible-believing church. person asked, "What happened to the other three in your family?" His friend asked, and he replied, "My brother's the Sunday school director. My mom writes articles for Christian publications that are published around the world. My dad directs the church choir and other activities." His friend was astounded, sat silent for several seconds before saying, "All this resulted because a simple invitation to Sunday school when you were out trick-or-treating from your neighbor?" Isabel Wobsley told that story because she was the mother who became the Christian writer. And that missionary was Isabel's son. She said, "Everything, extraordinary things happen because an ordinary Christian did something to help tell the good news about Jesus Christ." Think for a moment about all the people who are blessed by Isabel's articles, all the people her husband helped lead worship, all the people her son helped in Sunday school, and all the people in New Guinea who are blessed because they were led to the Lord by Isabel's missionary son. And all those blessings can be traced back to that woman who thought she was worthless to the Lord. She made a difference simply by handing out invitations to her church's Sunday school at Halloween. That small act went far beyond her wildest imagination. And glory to God, so can we. If we follow the Lord's command to simply be messengers and go and act in faith, God will multiply our efforts. And we may never even know what God did through our simple obedience on a daily basis till we get in heaven and it's revealed to us. Verses 14 through 15, Jesus continues. "And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town." Jesus is saying, know the dangers of being lost. Know the dangers of being lost. When the Jews left Samaria, they hated Samaria so much, they were so racist, when they came, crossed over, or were about to cross over into Israel, they would take off their sandals, shake off the dust. They hated those people so bad, they didn't even want to take the dust from their area into Israel. Jesus is saying, those who reject the gospel will face judgment, a judgment worse than those who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. For a Jewish person, the worst group of people you could ever imagine that faced on the face of the planet were those who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and that terrible judgment that fell on that city. And Jesus is saying, those who reject the gospel today, those that you go speak to, and when they reject the gospel, their fate is worse than those in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a terrible thing to be shaken off the sandals of God. The day of judgment is coming. What a dreadful day for all those who are lost in their sin. What a dreadful day for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. All of us need a better grasp of the terrible danger lost people are in. We need to see how terrible it is to be lost. James McCullen is a Christian author. He saw an example of that when he took his grandson to the mall one day, and they liked to people watch, so they went to the center of the mall, and they started watching people, and they noticed a little girl in the middle of the mall there, and she was playing, and they noticed that her parents weren't anywhere around, and she didn't notice. She was laughing and playing, and they continued to watch, and eventually that little girl realized that her parents weren't near her, that they weren't anywhere around, and she started to panic. She started to cry, and so the grandson got up out of his seat and went to console her, but she couldn't be consoled because she had lost her parents. Eventually, her parents found her, heard her screams, and came. She was reunited, and she threw herself into the arms of her parents, and the grandson walked back to be with his grandfather. And this is what he wrote. So many times a person laughs and plays through their life until they realize they're lost. Have you ever come to the point in your life when you realized you're lost? Have you ever seen your need for Jesus? And seeing that need, you put your trust and your life in the hands of Jesus Christ. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life, your entire eternity. And Christian, we have been given instructions. There are instructions more important than not picking on your sister when she has a baseball bat in her hand. What are those instructions? Go with power. Preach to the audience that he's given you. Proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. Display the compassion of the kingdom of God. Share in faith. And know the dangers of being lost. Because when we know those dangers, it'll give us compassion for those that are in that helpless state. If we'll follow these simple instructions, we'll be used by God in a great way. And we'll be kingdom builders right along with the first 12 disciples. I can think of no greater responsibility or privilege we could hold. May we follow his instructions for the mission. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the obedience of those 12 disciples. They went and told the world. They went and told Gentiles. They went and told Samaritans. They went to the ends of the earth. And we sit in this room because of their faithfulness. Lord, you have sent us as well. May we go relying on your power. May we follow the instructions you've given us. May we do so in faith. May we have compassion on those who are lost around us, compelling us to act, to speak, to be the hands and feet of God. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a time of invitation. And I'm going to ask, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to pray with you, even as we sing this song. Come on down, I would love to pray with you. If you're not part of a church family, we would love to have you part of our family here at Jesus at Flint Hill as we follow his instructions. And Christian, church member, or is there some of those instructions that you've lost sight of that you haven't been doing? Maybe you've lost that compassion. Maybe you've forgotten the danger of those who are lost around you. What can you do this week to follow these instructions? Commit to those. Commit to that while we sing.
Let's stand together and let's sing.
I have heard the voice of Jesus calling clear.